KPBS On Demand is supported by La Jolla Playhouse, premiering 3 summers of Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass met just 3 times to unite a divided nation. This spectacular new musical features an epic original score blending gospel, R&B, and Broadway. Begins February 18th. Tickets at LaJollaPlayhouse.org.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, December 11th. Supervisors vote to block county agencies from helping ICE. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. Thousands of people in the county are still without power today because of emergency power shutoffs. SDG&E activated the shutoffs Monday afternoon to reduce wildfire risk from downed power lines. Power is not expected to return for some residents until at least Friday. SDG&E says the lines must be inspected for damage before turning the power back on. The County Board of Supervisors approved a proposal to give the Citizens Law Enforcement Review Board, or CLERB, enhanced ability to investigate deaths in county jails. The plan will let CLERB investigate any employee or contractor working under the direction of the sheriff or county probation department, something the board can't do now. County staff now has 60 days to craft an ordinance to expand CLERB's powers. The San Diego City Council has chosen a new council president, District 1 Councilmember Joe LaCava. LaCava was first elected in 2020 and was recently re-elected by voters in Pacific Beach, La Jolla, and Carmel Valley. Councilmember Vivian Moreno praised him for supporting more public investment in disadvantaged communities outside his district.
Your commitment to transparency and good governance is very well known. And I know that you'll carry that forward as council president.
The council president controls city council agendas and doles out committee assignments that can influence the direction of policy making. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, a divisive election year, and strained budgets are all topics that can create tension in the workplace. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Supervisors voted this week to block San Diego County agencies from helping Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Reporter Katie Heisen says it's the 9th California county to pass this kind of policy.
The new policy prohibits the use of county staff, funds, or time to assist ICE unless they have an arrest warrant. Robert Vivar was there in support. The Riverside County Sheriff's Office released him to Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers in 2002. He says they deported him to Mexico before he could find a lawyer. The California Supreme Court vacated his conviction and gave him residency back in 2021.
But in the meantime, you know, my family got destroyed. My grandkids that were living with me suffered tremendous separation. You know, I was supporting them, my daughter. It wreaks havoc on the family and on the family finances.
He says local law enforcement and community members need to cooperate for public safety.
If our communities are afraid to report when they are being victims of a crime or when they see a crime because of the possibility of being turned over to ICE, that creates additional burden.
A 2017 study by a UCSD professor found that counties that don't actively help ICE have significantly lower crime rates. Jim Desmond was the only board member to vote against the policy. Joel Anderson was absent. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
While some in California are bracing for deportations, El Cajon's Republican mayor has pledged his support to the president-elect's plan. iNews Source reporter Sophia Mejias-Pasco has the story.
Mayor Bill Wells has a message for California and for his city, where nearly a third of residents are foreign-born.
I want to make it clear right now that El Cajon is not a sanctuary city.
California's Sanctuary Law, or SB 54, limits how local law enforcement can cooperate with the feds on immigration. Supporters say the law prevents immigrants without legal status from being deported for low-level crimes. But Wells said the law makes El Cajon less safe. He wants police to aid in Trump's mass deportation plan, and he might be willing to violate the law to do that.
The short answer is yes, but it's not that simple. I'm going to go through a process of trying to figure out where the boundaries really are.
Meanwhile, Attorney General Rob Bonta affirmed the state's commitment to immigrants in a video posted to X this week.
California DOJ is here to protect immigrants' safety, freedoms, and rights.
Bonta's office said they won't hesitate to step in against agencies violating SB 54. For KPBS, I'm iNewsSource reporter Sophia Mejias-Pasco.
iNewsSource is an independently funded nonprofit partner of KPBS. The lifeblood of scientific research, money, and robust debate may be in conflict as academia anticipates a second Donald Trump presidency. Researchers at UCSD told Public Matters reporter Amitha Sharma their colleagues are chilling their own speech, a form of preemptive silencing, out of fear their federal funding may be cut off. Here's my conversation with Amitha.
Amitha, what is preemptive silencing?
Debbie, preemptive silencing is basically a powerful entity using intimidation, basically to mute people. So, for example, if I control your livelihood and I make it known that I won't be happy if people challenge me in public, that I will use all the resources available to me to punish people if they do that, other people will hear it and not challenge me. So that's called preemptive silencing. In the case of UCSD, some scientists seem to be censoring themselves. They still remember Trump's first term when climate scientists were terminated. They still remember attacks against Dr. Fauci during the pandemic. They have heard the threats about possibly jailing him now. So they're smart people. They understand the writing on the wall. I spoke with Dr. Davey Smith. He's an infectious disease doctor at UC San Diego. And he says his colleagues believe that that environment will return in the next Trump administration, and they do not want to be caught in the crosshairs.
So everybody's anxious. And then they're worried that if they say something, that's going to come back on them.
So Debbie, I do want to make it clear that no one I spoke to at UCSD said that any kind of edict had come down from the university's leadership about scientists not speaking their mind in public.
Amitha, what are the potential consequences for UCSD scientists if they do run afoul of the next White House and of the new administration?
Well, one big consequence could be, and I want to emphasize could be, financial. UCSD receives $972 million in federal funding, and about $557 million of that money comes from the National Institutes of Health, or NIH as it's known. And that also has a big impact on the local economy. No one is saying for certain that will go away if researchers speak out of turn. But there is a lot on the line if that does happen, or if priorities change, if there's payback from grudges held over from Trump's first administration, such as getting rid of infectious disease research at the NIH, which Smith says could be devastating to preparation for the next pandemic.
Bird flu is coming, by the way, and we're going to need those strong institutions to take care of it.
So many other countries have complained for decades about experiencing brain drains in science and tech. Might that happen here?
Well, you know, Debbie, Smith says it's actually already happening here. He knows scientists who have either left already or are planning to leave in anticipation of the effect of a second Trump administration. Some of this feeling has echoes from the past. I had a conversation with Stephanie Strathdy. She's a professor of medicine at UC San Diego. She is an AIDS researcher. That work, she says, was highly stigmatized and targeted in the 1990s. She worries that Trump could usher in a new era of fear among scientists.
It's going to take a lot of time to regrow that kind of institutional memory.
I also had a brief conversation with a retired political science professor from San Diego, and he told me that, look, this is not so much about self-censorship as it is about reasoned cowardice.
Amitha, thank you.
Thank you.
Books Through Bars San Diego is an organization that gathers and ships books to people incarcerated nationwide. Arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans spoke to one volunteer about this work.
Cherish Burtson remembers a time when books were her only escape. She was incarcerated at the Federal Correctional Institute in Dublin, California.
And I went through so many books. I think that's the only thing that allowed me to actually get through it.
Now, Burtson volunteers with Books Through Bars, a mutual aid collective that sends books to prisons. The group holds regular packing events at Groundwork Books at UC San Diego. Volunteers open letters from incarcerated people, select books, and write letters back. This year, the group received about 150 letters per month. They shipped 1,200 books to incarcerated people in 200 facilities across 40 states.
So when you're in there, you're just at a complete standstill and you really feel like the outside world forgets about you. And it's those little things, letters and books, that make you feel like you actually still are a part of the world.
Books are donated from the community and bookstores. Their primary expense is shipping, about $5 per package. Books Through Bars' next volunteer event is scheduled for January. Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. And on the Midday Edition podcast this afternoon, host Jade Heidman will be finding out why employees are feeling increasingly dissatisfied. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Wednesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego International Jewish Film Festival, celebrating its 35th year starting January 27th. This year's festival features more than 30 films from 13 countries with special events and guest filmmakers. Tickets at sdijff.org.